Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for coming. I know for most of you it was a long drive, and it's a little remote, but it's not that remote, I think. And so are you all enjoying this program? And I must first of all thank Kadambakanana Prabhu and his family for bringing Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman deities here so that we could have their Abhishek. Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman ki jai. They came all the way from Alachua and they brought the deities according to our request. So today is Lord Ramchandra's appearance day celebration, Ram Navami. On this particular ninth day of the lunar calendar, Lord Ramchandra appeared in this month of Chaitra, so which falls in March, April, like 15th of March to 15th of April usually is the month of Chaitra. Then the next month, which is the beginning of the Indian calendar, Vaishakh, begins from 15th of April. So thank you all very much for coming. And you can see we are starting a new project here. Krishna just brought us here. To begin with, I never thought of doing anything in America. I mean, project-wise. Because I thought that's the Americans' business. Indians can be focused into India. Not that Srila Prabhupada wanted this international society for Krishna consciousness. It's international. This movement is meant to include everybody. It's not only international, it's even beyond that. We can say it's universal. We'll say it's even beyond that. What is even beyond universe? Transcendental. Transcendental means beyond this material nature. So transcending this material nature, we come to another reality, another nature, and that is the spiritual nature. So Krishna consciousness is from the spiritual world. Krishna consciousness. To be conscious about Krishna means to be elevated to the spiritual sky. Krishna is there, so if we are conscious about Krishna, that means we are there also. And that's the good fortune that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created for all of us in this very, very degraded age of Kali. And that's why we establish generally, first thing we do is establish the deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are principally the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna didn't come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came as a devotee. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so special. He teaches us how to become a devotee. And to become a devotee is the ultimate goal of life. To go to the spiritual world, there is no other means beside devotional service. Not by transcendental knowledge or jnana, not by yoga, not by austerities, penances, we can go to the spiritual world. The only way that we can go to the spiritual world is by devotional service. And devotional service means, in simple words, developing a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we want to go back to the spiritual world, how can you go there without developing a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Will you allow me to go to your house if I don't have any relationship with you? Simple consideration. But if I have a relationship with you, then you will invite me to come to your house, as so often you all do. Maharaj, please come to our house. Why? Because we have a relationship with you. That's why you invite me to your house. But somebody who wants to just exploit you, will you ever want him to be in your house? Never. So as long as we have an exploitative tendency towards Krishna, we'll never be able to go to the spiritual world. The only way to go to a spiritual world is simply by developing a relationship. And what does it mean to develop a relationship? What is the meaning of developing a relationship? Developing a relationship means developing a loving relationship. It is through love that we develop relationship. Is there anyone who wants to develop a relationship with someone who he hates? Is there anybody or he or she hates? No. These are just simple common sense considerations. If we want to go back to the spiritual world, which actually belongs to Krishna, which is Krishna's house, in order to enter there, we have to have a loving relationship with Krishna. And that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. That's the meaning of devotional service. And Krishna makes these arrangements in order to enable us to be able to go back to the spiritual world. He comes. Krishna comes himself. And he came as Lord Ramchandra. In Dwapar Yuga, he came as Krishna Chandra. And in Treta Yuga, he came as Sri Ramchandra. The difference between Krishna Chandra and Ramchandra is Krishna Chandra is Lila Purushottam. He simply performs his pastimes. He simply derives his pleasure through his pastimes. Whereas Ramchandra is a Marjada Purushottam. He establishes the principle of Dharma. He came to establish the principle of Dharma, that is Sri Ramchandra. He is teaching us how to be on the path of Dharma. Whereas Krishna doesn't care about that. Krishna is simply concerned about his own pleasure. What you think about it, Krishna doesn't give a damn about that. But the thing is, it is up to us that we develop the proper understanding towards Krishna. That's why Krishna's pastimes are so difficult to apprehend. They're so difficult to comprehend, to understand. Whereas Ramchandra is simply teaching us how we should act. And in that respect, Prabhupada said, if you want to imitate the Lord, follow Lord Ramchandra. Try to imitate Lord Ramchandra. Just one wife. And so loyal to his father that he wouldn't allow his father's words to go in vain. He would rather go to the forest for 14 years than he wouldn't allow his father's words to go in vain. Whereas Krishna, anyway, today we are discussing not Krishna's pastimes, and some other day we'll do it. And incidentally, I can mention that in July, I'll have a seminar here, a week-long seminar, on the pastimes of Krishna. Pastimes of Krishna based on Garga Samhita. You see, Srimad Bhagavatam is in a concise form. Srimad Bhagavatam is just giving the indications of Krishna's activities. But other personalities have elaborated that. Just as Garga Muni, he elaborated Krishna's pastimes. And that is Gaura Samhita. Similarly, Sanatana Goswami elaborated Krishna's pastimes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then Rupa Goswami elaborated through his dramas Lalita Madhava, Vidakta Madhava. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gave elaborate descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. So this is how the devotees of Krishna has revealed Krishna's pastimes in more details. So Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who came to establish the principle of Dharma. So those who want to remain in the path of Dharma, they should follow the instructions of Lord Ramchandra, pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. The Supreme, here we have to also understand one thing. What is the meaning of pastimes? I remember when I was young in India, there used to be a weekly magazine called Sports and Pastimes. Sports and Pastimes. So it was a magazine that was dealing with sports and other things, you know, like, and Sports and Pastimes. Pastimes means the activities that give pleasure, entertainment. Pastime, in a way, means entertainment for one's pleasure. Like, in that respect, we can consider pastimes is like a drama. Drama, what is a drama meant for? The drama has two purposes mainly. One is entertainment. Why do you want to go to a movie? I know you don't go to a movie. But why do you go to see a drama? Why does one want to go to a drama? To suffer. To entertain. To enjoy. And a good drama must have some lesson to learn. A good drama always has lessons to learn. So that's why in simple words we can say a good drama has romance, entertainment, and a lesson to learn. And so dramas, we can say, is something like Krishna's reflection of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna acts. Krishna, like the in a drama, what happens? There is an actor. There are actors and actresses. And the actors and actresses play their respective roles. Right? And but they are not those persons, but they play that role. So so similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead plays the role, and he plays the drama with his associates. They play their roles, various roles. Now here we have to also understand one thing. If an important person enacts a drama, if an important person enacts a drama, then does he involve anybody or everybody? No. He involves his own people. So similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead plays a drama or his pastimes, he does it with his own people, with his own associates. And in a drama, okay, another thing. You know what is the element of a good drama? The element of a good drama is conflict. The more the conflict, better the drama. Right? So in order to have the conflict, in a drama you have the hero. So in order to have the conflict, you need a demon. Right? The hero and a villain. Without the villain, the drama will not be complete. And another important factor is the heroine. So these are the three important factors in a drama. Hero, heroine, and the villain. And the conflict starts with the heroine. the villain tries to take the heroine away. So, does it make sense? Huh? Now you can see how Krishna's drama. Let's put it that way. Krishna's pastimes are like Krishna's drama. And in the drama, who is the hero? Naturally, Krishna is the hero. Who is the hero in Krishna's eternal consort, Srimati Radharani? And who is the villain? That role changes. And so as I said, that when an important person enacts a drama, then he actually does it with his own people. Right? So although playing the role with the villain, that the villain is also his own person. So here in Ramchandra's pastimes, we can see who is the hero? Lord Ramchandra. Who is the heroine? Sita Devi. And who is the villain? Ravan. Who is Ravan?
Jai.
Very good. Udayananda Prabhu is a storehouse of knowledge. So, two persons, two devotees of Krishna. And like when we play a drama, we kind of, you know, just hire the actors, actresses, director is there and making the play the role. But in Krishna's arrangements, everything must have a solid reason. Without reason, nothing happens. Because Krishna is the Sarva Karana Karana. Mm. He is the cause of all causes. So how can he do something without any cause? Mm. So it has to be a cause. So why they should become a deity? Become a villain? Why should they go against Krishna? Okay, Jai Vijay are two associates of Krishna. All right. But once they thought that the Lord in Vaikuntha doesn't get the opportunity to experience Vira Rasa. Okay, Rasa, you know, Rasa means mellow. Mellow means the exchange that takes place, basically through emotion. That's called mellow. Emotion that causes various moods leading to various exchanges. So, Kalin, attention. When you're sitting here, sit in the class. Listen. Right? So here, Jai and Vijay, these two gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, felt that the Lord doesn't get a chance to experience this mellow of chivalry. Therefore, they decided that it would be so nice if we could enable the Lord to experience that mellow. So then immediately arrangements was made. And you know who makes the arrangement? Arrangements are made by Jyotamaya. Mm. She's actually the transcendental directress. Just as in a drama there is a director or directress, she is the directress of these pastimes of Krishna. So she immediately made the arrangement. She sent the four Kumaras, the first four sons of Brahma. They came to the gate of Vaikuntha. And Jai and Vijay saw these four young boys, they're naked. So they said, look, you don't come. Go. Dress up properly. So they blocked their way, they blocked their ways. So they said, okay, you dare to treat us like that? I curse you. I curse you that you'll fall down to the earth planet. You'll fall down to the material nature. Because in the spiritual nature, with this mentality, you cannot remain. So go down to the lower planet, the material nature. So when Narayan heard that his gatekeepers behaved in such a way and offended these devotees, so Narayan himself came there and begged forgiveness. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. that even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whenever he sees that some transgression is there, he feels guilty about it. Especially because he felt that my devotees, my servants, have acted in an inappropriate way. So that's why he came and he just apologized. Please don't mind. Because my servants, my subordinates, are my responsibility. When they act in an inappropriate way, it reflects on me. I become responsible. So this is how one should also learn how to deal with others. Especially when your followers act in an inappropriate way, you should feel that you are responsible. So in this way, through his own action, the Lord actually guides his devotees, guides others, sets an example. So in this way he pacified the four Kumaras, Shanak, Shanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar. And then he asked, see, Jai Vijay, you have been cursed. You have to go to the Lord Ranjir system, the material nature. So now there is two options open for you. You can go there and remain my devotees. Then you have to remain there for 7 lifetimes. But if you become my enemy, then you have to be there only for 3 lifetimes, 4 lifetimes. So option is yours. This is 7 lifetimes, a long time. I can't bear the separation from you. Okay, 3 times as an enemy. I mean, become your enemy and go there for 4 lifetimes as your enemy. Now see how the drama is setting up? The scene is being set. They wanted to fight with the Lord, right? Virarasa means fighting. So they came. Okay. First, in Satyuga. 4 lifetimes mean 4 yugas. Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So in Satyuga, Jai and Vijay became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now the second yuga, Treta Yuga. So now they came as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. So Ravana is also the son of a great personality. As I said, after all, they're devotees. So they can't just take birth in any family. So they're born in a very exalted family, but they became demoniac. They developed demoniac tendency. His first consideration was that we are Rakshasas. We are left in the lower planetary system, Patala Loka. But our cousins, the demigods, actually, demons and demigods are cousins. So they are living in the higher planetary systems where they are having so many facilities. And look at our condition. So Ravan decided that he is going to oppose this arrangement. And they felt this arrangement of Narayan is partial. He is being kind to others and unfavorable to others. He is not favorable to us, but he is favorable to them. So this is how he became inimical to us. And this is how the demons actually develop their inimical attitude. To be a demon, first of all, you have to be an atheist. Right? That's the qualification for a demon. The first qualification, you have to be an atheist. That means you cannot accept the existence of the Supreme Personality of God. You can't accept the existence of the Supreme Personality of God. And atheist means one who doesn't accept the existence of the Supreme Personality of God in the sense the Supreme Controller, Supreme Proprietor, All-Powerful, Omniscient, Omnipresent, and Omnipotent. Isn't that the definition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But instead, the demons think that they are ordinary people. They are inferior to us. I am greater than him. So that is the qualification for a demon. So Ravana this way developed this aversion towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? But one has to become very powerful to deal with him. That person is very, very powerful. So I have to become even more powerful. Even more powerful means I have to become immortal. So Ravana started to perform great austerities. Now when one performs austerities, one actually offers or sacrifice, like performs austerity to get some boon and to please that personality. So he offers something in his favor. Like if you want to win the favor of somebody, what do? You give him some gift and something. So similarly, Ravana thought, to please Brahma, I have to offer various various offerings. Now generally in sacrifice, the offerings are made with grains and ghee and other such auspicious ingredients. But Ravana, what he was doing, he was offering his own flesh. So he was cutting his own flesh and offering it in the fire of sacrifice.
Hare Krishna.
Brahma didn't come. So Ravana became so exasperated, he thought, okay, I'll cut my own head, throw it in the fire. So then Brahma said, stop, I don't have to do that. What do you want? I want to be immortal. Brahma said, look, that boon I can't give because I myself am not immortal. Everyone in this material nature is mortal. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu. So, that boon I can't give. Then Ravana said, okay, fine. You won't give me that boon. It's fine. I won't be killed by any demon. I won't be killed by any demigod. I won't be killed by any rakshasa, daitas, kinnaras, gandharvas. Everything he mentioned. But he forgot to mention the human being. Not forgot, he thought human beings, who cares about that? So he decided not to even ask the human being. And Ravan became so powerful after that, getting that boon, that he started to create havoc everywhere. So the controllers of the universe actually are the universal affairs of the demigods. So different demigods are in charge of different aspects of the universe. Like fire department, Agni Dev, water department, Varun Dev, sun, Surya Dev, moon, Chandra Dev. So all devas, demigods, they are actually the controllers of different affairs of the universe. So he started to defeat one after another. Then finally he came to Jamaraj. You know what Jamaraj is? He's the god of death. God of death. He controls death. He makes everyone to die. And so Ravana attacked his kingdom. So his soldiers were defeated. So they came and reported to Jamaraj. And Jamaraj said, okay, let's go. I'll deal with him. And even Jamaraj was about to be defeated. So Jamaraj's last weapon is Mrityu Danda, the stick of death. With that, if he touches somebody, so he was about to do that. So then Brahma came. Said, stop, Jama. Don't do that. Because he's not meant to be killed by you. So don't let your weapon go away. Because you won't be killed by any demigod. But But at the same time, you have this Jama Danda. So he said, so Jamraj then disappeared from there, vanished. So Ravana thought he defeated even Jamraj. So can see how powerful he became. And he started to create havoc everywhere. But although he became very powerful in this way, but he is prone to make mistakes. First mistake, he was flying over the Himalayan mountains, and there in the valley he saw a beautiful young girl is performing austerities. So he came and asked, "What's the matter? Who are you?" She said, "I'm the daughter of such and such sage." "Oh, will you marry me?" Now, first he asked, "What are you doing here, in this, alone in this solitary place?" He said, "I'm performing austerities to give the Supreme Personality of Godhead as my husband." Oh. So he said, "Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm a better." So, rather marry me. And so she said, "Look, I gave my heart to Lord Narayana. So I can't accept anybody else. So please go away from here. Leave me alone." So at that time, Ravan caught her by her hair. Her name is Vedavati. And Vedavati said that, "Since with your touch, my body has been contaminated. I cannot offer this body to the Lord. I'll give up this body. But in my next life, I'll be the cause of your death."
Hare Baba.
And who is this Vedavati? Vedavati came as Sita. Another mistake Ravana made. Once he was flying through the Kailash, Mount Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva's associate, Nandi, stopped him. He said, "Look, this is the abode of Lord Shiva. Don't go over this place. Just turn around." He said, "What? Who is Lord Shiva? And why should I care about him?" So, in this way, he had a confrontation with Nandi. And then he told Nandi, "You monkey-faced." Nandi's face is like monkey. "You monkey-faced. You dared to stop me?" Then Nandi cursed him. "Since you graced me with the name monkey-face, so these monkeys will be the cause of your death." So, in this way, Ravana made a few mistakes which actually caused him this and so, in this way, Ravana, you can see, caused some, like again, the scene is being set of the drama. So Ravana had to go through that. Another mistake. One celestial damsel is Ramba. She's an apsara. Extremely beautiful. So Ramba, Ravan one day came across Ramba and he stopped her and wanted to spend his time with her. Ramba said, "Look, I'm going to my husband, Nalakovaya." So Ramba said, "Who cares about your husband?" Saying that, Ravana molested Rama. Rama went back to her husband crying that, look, this is what he has done to me. So Nalakuvir knew that in a fight he couldn't actually defeat Ravana, because Ravana defeated all the demigods. So he said, with all the piety that I have acquired, with the strength of that piety, I'm cursing this guy, Ravana, that if he ever forcibly tries to molest anybody, any woman, immediately his head would split in 1,000 pieces. So you see how the scene is set. Although Ravana stole Sita, he didn't dare to touch her because he knew about the curse. So anyway, so these are the background that I am giving. Now on the other side, Lord Ramchandra. The demigods have been defeated, driven out of their heavenly planet. All their responsibilities have been taken over by Ravana and his associates. Like, you know, they just became completely destitute. So they went to Lord Brahma. Dear grandfather, please do something. Brahma said, look, I'm not able to deal with this person. The only one who can deal with him is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now see how the entrance of this hero is being made. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only one who can actually deal with him. So came. So they all went to the ocean of milk ocean and prayed to the Lord, and as a result of that, Lord Ramchandra decided to come. Narayan wanted to come, Vishnu decided to come as Sri Ramchandra. Now there is also another history. There is a very powerful king, Dasarath. He came in the Ikshaku dynasty. You remember Ikshaku dynasty coming from Suryadev, sun god. Imam Vivashati Yogam Praptavan Ahamabhayam Vivashwan Manave Praho. Vivashan gave this knowledge to Manu. Manur Ikshakube Abravit. Manu gave it to Ikshaku. Then Ikshaku's son is Nimi. In Bhagavatam, you can see Nimi Nave Yogendra Sambad. The 11th canto, Nimi's encounter with the 11 yogis. So this is how this line goes. Then in that line came Aja, Dashrath's father. So Dashrath became the king, very powerful king. But Dasarath was unhappy because he didn't have any son. So he got married to 4 wives, but none of them could give him a son. The first wife was three wives. First one was Kaushalya, then second is Sumitra, third is Kulki. So he asked his guru, look, I got married to 3 wives, but still I couldn't get any son. So then Vasishtha advised that if you want to get a son, then perform a certain sacrifice called Putrishti Yajna. That will enable you to get a son. So he performed that Yajna, and as a result of that Yajna, as a result of the sacrifice, a celestial personality appeared with a pot of sweet rice and gave it to Dasharath and said, you offer it to your wife and she'll get a son. So Dasharath had 3 wives, but especially 2 wives were very dear. The first one, Kaushalya, and the third one, Kaikeyi. And so he gave 1/2 to Kaushalya and 1/2 to Kaikeyi. And Kaushalya and Kaikeyi both, they're so generous, they shared their half with Sumitra. Kaushala gave her half, her portion to Sumitra, and Kaikeyi gave her part of her portion to Sumitra. And as a result of that, all three of them became pregnant. Kaushala gave birth to Rama, and Kaikeyi gave birth to Bharat. And Sumitra gave birth to Lakshman and Shatrughna. They didn't actually give half, they gave the one fourth of their thing to. Anyway, so, and as a result of that, Lakshman, Sumitra's son, Lakshman became very fond of Ram. And Shatrughna became very fond of Bharat. So they were always together. So now we can see who are these four personalities: Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. Do you remember the Chaturbhuha? Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. So Vasudev is Lord Ramchandra. Sankarshan is Lakshman. And Bharat is Pradumna, and Aniruddha is Shatrughna. So these are the four brothers. They're ideal children. They grew up most valiant, most powerful, most generous, most wonderful four brothers. And out of them, Ram, the eldest one, was the most exemplary. So Dasarath, he felt that Ram has, everyone is so fond of Ram, and he decided to coronate Ram as the successor to the throne, as the crown prince, successor to the throne. And he did that, they took the decision very suddenly, very abruptly. At that time, Bharat and Shatrughna were not there. They were in Bharat's uncle's, their uncle's house. And so they announced, it was announced, okay, tomorrow will be the coronation. And everyone was jubilant to hear that. And when all these arrangements were going on, Kaikeyi was on her palace rooftop, and she was also rejoicing. And she had a maidservant who was hunchbacked. And she was not only crooked in her body, she was crooked in her mind as well. So she came to her when she was just rejoicing, appreciating all the celebration that is being made for tomorrow's coronation. So Manthara, the maid servant came to Kaikeyi and asked, "What's the matter?" "Oh, don't you know that tomorrow Ram is going to be coronated?" So, and Manthara said, "And you're rejoicing for that? Don't you remember? Don't you realize that when Ram becomes the crown prince, then all the attention will go to Kaushalya and no one will even bother to look at you. And your son, Bharat, will become his menial servant." And in this way she started to vitiate her mind. So, and she was, and as a result of that, she started to think that way. Yeah, that's true. So she asked, "So what to be done? He said, "Do you remember King Dasharath gave you two boons when he was injured by fighting for the demigods against the demons? He was injured, and at that time he asked you, you treated him, and he was so pleased with you, he said, 'Kaikeyi, ask for any boon, any two boons.' And you say, you have given me everything. What is there to ask for? I have nothing to. I'm nothing. I lack nothing. So then Dashrath told you that, okay, so if ever you want something from me, you can ask and fulfill your desire. So, see, another setting of the drama. What a script writer. So, and so Kaikeyi said, I mean, Mathura said, with the first moon, you asked that Ram, that Bharat should become the successor to your throne, not Ram. But if Ram is around and he's so popular, then probably there will be a revolution. So you get rid of Ram. And with the second boon, you ask that Ram has to go to the forest for 14 years. And within 14 years, we'll set up the scenes. So, then being advised like that by her maid servant, Mantara, the hunchback woman. So she went to the sulking room. In those days, there used to be different rooms for different, especially with the kings and monarchs. So she went to the sulking room, took off all her ornaments, fancy thing, wrapped herself up with just a plain simple cloth, and lying on the floor, she was weeping. So Dasarath, when he came and saw her in that condition, asked, "Hey, what's that with you? What happened?" So she wouldn't say anything. When Dasarath just kept on insisting, then finally she said, "Remember, you gave me two boons? Yes. So now I want those boons from you. Okay, ask. First boon, Bharat has to become the successor to your throne. Second boon, Ram has to go to the forest for 14 years. When Dasarath, quickly. Joking. I mean, Ram, who is as dear to you, even more dear than your own son, you know, I'm sure you're not really serious about it. Kaikeyi said, "Look, I'm dead serious about it. These are my expectations from you. Please grant me." Dasarath fainted. Just when he realized that Kaikeyi is serious, he just fainted. And then, when he came back to the senses, he asked, "Kaikeyi, you are not serious about that. You don't want that." But when he heard that Kaikeyi was so serious, he fainted again. So it went on like that for a few times. And then Dasarath said, "Okay, I'm not going to fulfill your desire. I'm not going to give you this. Boons." So, but Ram got to know about what was happening. In the meantime, all the preparations were going on to coronate Ram, but now it's like he gets to know that his stepmother wanted these two boons from his father, and his father refused. So Ram said, "No, I can't allow you to break your promise. To be untruthful means committing a sin. So I can't allow you that. I will accept it and I'll go." So Ram actually agreed, voluntarily decided to go like that, to fulfill his stepmother's desire. Sita told that you are going, I have to also go with you wherever you go. Sita, you never stepped out of your palace. You do not know how dangerous these forests are. And how can you ever stay there? No, you stay in the palace for 14 years, I'll come back. But Sita insisted, so Ram agreed. Lakshman also insisted, "I will go with you." So in this way, Ram, Lakshman and Sita decided to go to the forest. So then, okay, now I'm sure you know what all happened.
No.
Okay, maybe I'll give a week-long seminar on it. So anyway, I'll try to finish it by 12:45, so that we can have Aritik and then we can have the next program, the feast. So one interesting thing is, okay, in short, Ravan kidnapped Sita. But it was not original Sita, it was Maya Sita. Ravan couldn't even touch Sita really. No one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead can touch his eternal consort. So when Ravan came to steal her, kidnap her, Sita took shelter of fire god, Agnidev. And Agnidev took Sita and put back an illusory Sita. The illusory Sita was actually kidnapped by Ravan. And as a result of that, a lot of drama happened. Like, she was taken by, and Ravan in Lanka, which is beyond the island in the ocean. And Ramchandra and Lakshman came across the monkeys. You remember Nandi's curse? So Ramchandra's army became the monkeys. Actually, it was all the demigods who took birth as the monkeys. They were extremely powerful. Out of them was Hanuman, who was blessed by all the demigods with all kinds of benedictions. So that's what made him so powerful. So Hanuman was the biggest ally to Lord Ramchandra. And ultimately, in that battle, Ram killed Ravan. And after Ravan was killed, Sita Devi was rescued. But then the consideration was, Ramchandra considered, that Sita has to go through the test so that everybody can recognize that she is chaste. So the test was enter into fire. And if she is not touched by fire, that would be the test. And so the arrangement was made, a huge fire was lit, Sita entered. And what happened? The Maya Sita disappeared, and original Sita, whom Agnidev took, was brought back to Lord Ramchandra. Then they went back to Ayodhya, the capital. After 14 years were just completed. See how timely the drama ended. So Ravan was killed. So then when they came back to Ayodhya, everyone was glorifying Lord Ramchandra. How he killed Ravan. Everyone was glorifying him. There was a sage called Agastya. Agastya actually told that no, the credit for killing Ravan, credit for winning the battle actually goes not to Ravan exclusively, but it goes to Lakshman. Why? Yes, sure, Lakshman is naturally gave him a lot of support, but the whole credit goes to Lakshman. Then he said that because if Meghnad, Indrajit, Ravan's son, was not killed, Ram could defeat Ravan. And he was practically invincible. He was so powerful that he defeated even Indra. And capturing him, he brought him to Lanka as a prisoner. So Brahma came to his rescue and said that unless you just release him, and in exchange I'll give you some boons, I'll give you some gifts. Anyway, so Indrajit had the boon that he will not be killed by anyone who has been a celibate for 14 years. He'll be killed only by somebody who has been a celibate for 14 years, which means a real celibate doesn't even look at the face of a woman. Meaning he who would not see the face of the woman for 14 years. He would not sleep for 14 years. And he would not eat for 14 years. So then Ramchandra said, well, Sita Devi was there, so how can it be that he did not see the face of the woman? Then Agastya asked Lakshman, maybe you can answer your brother's question. Lakshman said, yes, I only looked at her feet. Although she was with us, but I only looked at her feet. And that's why when Sita's ornaments were found by Sugriv brought them, I could recognize only her ankle bells. Because that's the only ornament that I mean, it was on her feet. The other ornaments I couldn't recognize. So sleep for 14 years, yes, when both you and Sita slept, I stayed awake to guard you. Then the daytime I was awake, at night I was awake. Then Ramchandra said, okay, but every day I used to give him fruits. So how can Lakshman say that? I mean, how can you say Lakshman didn't eat anything? So Agastya said, okay, Lakshman, answer his question. Lakshman said, yes, I didn't eat those fruits. Because you just told me, keep it, or take it. The take it in Sanskrit is same as keep it. So you asked me to keep it, so I didn't eat it. I kept it in that house, in the forest house again. So Ram told Hanuman, by the touch of Lakshman, those fruits have become unperishable. So you go and collect all those fruits. So Hanuman immediately jumped, brought out the fruits. Ramchandra said, counted. Only 7 fruits are short. Oh, for 7 days you ate. Agastya said, Lakshman. Lakshman said, yes. Actually, those 7 days, you forgot to give me the fruits.
Sorry, Lakshman.
And those 7 days were when you got the news of the father's passing away. When Sita was kidnapped, that day you didn't give me the fruits. The day you were hit by, the day you were actually tied up by Ravan with the snake rope, the snakes actually, so that day also you couldn't give me the fruit. The day I was hit by Shakti, the weapon which was extremely powerful, that I became unconscious, that day you didn't give me the fruit. Then, the other day was when Ravana, through his magic, brought the head of Sita and presented to you that he killed Sita. So that day you didn't give me the... And the day Ravan was murdered, Ravan was killed, that day you didn't give me the fruits. So this is how these 7 days you did not give me the fruits. So Ramchandra said, look, Lakshman, you went through so much. You went through so much because of my sake, because of me, as my younger brother. So in my next pastimes, I'll become your younger brother.
Hariba.
And you become my elder brother. So that's why in the next pastimes, Balaram became the elder brother and Krishna became the younger brother. So, Shri Ram Chandra ki
Jai,
Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman
ki Jai,
Gaur Premananda
ki Jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai,
Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai,
Bhakti Chhu Swami Maharaj ki
Jai.